wanted to.
Let's follow.
Father, we pray for our membership that couldn't be here tonight, that you help them in their needs, the ones with health problems and the ones that couldn't get here for whatever other reasons. Father, you know all of our needs. Father, you know them better than we know them, and we pray that you take care of those there, Father. Father, we pray for our family that does not know Christ, that you may show them Christ and as he becomes their Savior, as that wonderful gift you gave us, Father, and we know they need it, and we all need more of that in this wicked world, Father. We pray that you continue to protect us from it, Father, and keep us away from the many ways to err out into this world, Father, and because we can't do it without you, Father. But most of all, Father, we pray that Christ come quickly. In his precious name we pray, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, church. For those of you that are here tonight, if you will, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 14. We have, for the past few weeks, been studying. We were doing it on Sunday morning. We changed it to Wednesday night because I got another short series going on Sunday morning about Jesus right now. But this message is of utmost importance to us, that we keep in mind as we go through these perilous times that God is in control, God is in charge, and God's will always be done, no matter what it is. People act sometimes like God's surprised by something. He's not. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning to the end. We spent three weeks on an introduction to this message, and soon I will get it finished and I will upload it to our website. We have been getting a lot of visits to our website. I appreciate that, to anybody listening and going over there. A lot of our Bible conference preachers have been hit here lately, and I like that. We have spent 3 weeks as an introduction talking about God, talking about how God controls everything.
Amen.
In the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. We don't know how God created everything. We don't know when he created his kingdom in heaven. We do know that he created the earth about 6,000, 7,000 years ago. We do know that the heavens were created, but the kingdom of God has probably been created a little longer than that, because it wasn't long after that Satan fell. And Satan caused Adam and Eve to fall. But at one time, only God existed. There was none else, no one else. Nothing else existed that we know of. Just God. God was alone. God is all. He's omni. He's omni everything. Knowledge, wisdom, holiness, just name it. Presence, name it. That's God. God is a spirit. He's not a man. God is a spirit. God is everywhere at one time. God isn't bound to any particular place. He's a spirit, and he's everywhere at one time. And Isaiah, and I'm not going to, we're going to Isaiah 14, but I'm going to read a scripture out of 46 we read last week. Our first point was, our God is the true God. There is none other. There's no other God. There may be gods to people, but there's no other God. God is it. He says in Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I shall do my pleasure. You know, that's a lot said right there, isn't it? So we looked a lot at God, and we looked a lot at his power. Now we're going to look at another power, and then we're going to look at Satan. How does Satan fit into the picture with God. If you hear some people say it, you would think that Satan is the second highest power to God. And to us on this earth, we may think that way. In fact, I probably said such things. But he's not. Listen, anyone that has God's power is more powerful than Satan. Satan does not have God's power. Satan only has the power that God gives him. He is our adversary, but who's going to destroy him in the end? Michael and his angels will defeat him, will they not? So Michael is going to have more power than Satan. So to us, we look at Satan as the second most power to God because he has a lot of his will down in this earth, doesn't he? He has the power to affect people. He has power to cause people to do things. But he only has a limited power to what God will give him. Don't forget that. Satan may be an adversary, but his adversaryism is only limited to what God allows, just like with Job. It was limited with Job. It's limited with everything. Satan, I believe, was an angel at one time. He says in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 15, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, when he says he will rise above, exalt himself, his throne above the stars of God, I believe he's talking about the angels. A lot of times, stars are called angels. So, I believe that's what he's talking about. He will rise himself above the angels in heaven, and he will be like God. God's over the angels, isn't he? So, in other words, Satan wants people to think that he will have the power of God, but he will not. Satan will never have anywhere near the power of God. The problem is we fear too much. I was talking to my wife today about worrying. I'm a worrier. I worry about a lot of things. I don't know why I do. It's just in my nature. My mother was the biggest person I've ever met in my life that worried. She worried about everything. Even quoting the same things I quote, how that God's in charge, God's in control, God's will be done. But we still worry about things, don't we? And Rebecca and I were talking about this today and some of the things I've got on my mind going through it. Folks, we have nothing to worry about. Worry is sin. Worry is showing a lack of faith in abilities and powers of God. I remember back when Brother Ronnie used to teach Sunday school. And we would joke back and forth about if we talked about Satan, it seems like Satan causes things to go on in our life. And he may have done it. We don't know. We don't know what Satan's doing. We don't know what God's doing. But we just know this, that God causes everything to happen he wants to happen. No doubt, Lucifer at one time was in the heavens. A lot of people say, well, this can't be the Satan because he was the son of the morning. Well, one time, if it is Satan, I believe it is, in Isaiah 14, he was a righteous angel at one time, wasn't he? In fact, a lot of people believe that he was like an archangel, like Michael. He may have been, I don't know. I just know when he fell, a lot of angels fell with him. But we don't need to worry about Lucifer. We don't need to worry about Satan, even though we will. So we know that Lucifer was good at one time, and he fell. He was called the son of the morning, but he wants to make his throne above the stars, verse 13, above the stars of God. Well, that would be, in my thinking, the angels. He said, I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he wants, isn't it? In Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness, God said. I make peace. I create evil. And I, the Lord, do all these things. I create evil. He created everything. Nothing exists that God did not create. God created evil for his own glory. God allowed Adam and Eve to sin to show the glory of his Son in Jesus Christ. God does things to bring glory to those that he loves. He brings glory to the churches. He brings glory to Christians. He brings glory to pastors, to missionaries, mission fields, mission workers. He brings glory to a lot of things. Chances are, if you go to a Like Faith Bible Conference, and there's one in Oakdale in March 10th weekend. If you go down there at Oakdale, Northside Baptist Church, you're going to walk out of there and say, that's probably the best Bible conference I ever heard. And it isn't. The problem is, you've never been to a bad one. Unless you go to one that ain't Like Faith. God always blesses Bible conferences, doesn't he? He always blesses ours. We've never had a bad Bible conference that I can remember. Now the 18, I think we've had 18 of them. So let's go, if you will, to 1 John. So Satan become the enemy of all righteousness. He hates righteousness. He hates anything good. He hates anything godly. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's of God, Satan hates it. Satan wants to fight it. Satan wants to try to defeat it. He knows he can't. He's never defeated God. He will never defeat God. In fact, as I said, Michael and his angels are going to beat Satan and his demons at the end. But look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. That means he was first to sin. He was first to sin. And angels behind him sinned, and he drugged them to hell with him. And then he attacked Adam and Eve and caused them to sin. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan, Lucifer, or the devil itself, any way you want to look at it, who was the first sinner, and who has caused much sin on this earth, has caused all the human race to be born dead, be conceived in iniquity. You know, sin causes a lot of things. You know that? It causes, you know, people say, well, polio causes birth defects. You know, sin does too. People are born strange sometimes because it's sin. Nobody's born perfect. None of us. The only one ever born perfect was Jesus Christ. Everybody else born dead. Born in enmity with God. All because of Satan and the sin he brought to Adam and Eve. He's the reason they sinned. Yes, it was their choice. It was their decision. And they will pay to God for that. But Satan's the one that brought it to them. He brings it to a lot of people. Satan's workers are called tares. In the parable of the weeds, The Lord said in Matthew chapter 13, I'm sorry, I should have gave it that to you earlier. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the weeds, the Lord said, but men slept. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That's what Satan's workers are called. That's who they are. These are people, folks. These are devilish people on the earth. And they're sowing tares among the wheat. The tares are evil servants serving Satan and unrighteousness. Whether fallen angels or people on earth or called even churches or Christians, they sow evil, they sow lies. That's what they are. They're not good people. They're sowing this evil among the wheat. Look at verse 38 and 39. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Remember when God's going to send the angels to the four corners of the earth to gather his elect out of the world? Amen. These tares are Satan's people. They're Satan's evil. There's nothing good in it at all. There's nothing good. And it's sowed among the people. It's sowed into the churches by these people. It's sowed into our TVs, into our radios, on the internet. You know, I try to search for things on the internet sometimes because I don't want to sit down and look it up in my volumes of books I have. So sometimes I go on the internet while I'm studying real quick and bring up my browser. I type in something, a phrase or something I'm looking for in the Bible, hoping somebody would bring it up. And you would be surprised. The first things come up for the first couple pages is nothing but heresy. Because Satan and his workers like Google and Facebook and Twitter and all of these others, they want evil to rise above good. But look what the Lord said in verses 38 and 39 when he said that men slept. I'm sorry, that's in verse 25. When he said, but while men slept, while they were unawares, while they weren't sober, watching, it's kind of like Israel, when the watchman slept or didn't pay attention, the Israelites divorced their Israel wives and went and found Gentile women and made them their wives because they were pretty. Problem with men, we look at women through the eyes of beauty. Beauty's on the inside, folks. It's not on the outside. It can be both, but rarely is. I get some mail on email on that one. That's okay. But while men slept, good men in churches, men of great faith, great truth, ministers of sound doctrine, and churches that are truly of Christ are sleeping. Right now. They're sleeping. I know they are. I don't go around to a lot of them. I don't know a lot of them. But when I got preachers telling me I went to this church, you know this pastor, you know that pastor, they're not the same. Why? I don't know. I do. They're sleeping. Some of them get tied up into Bible conferences and revival meetings and all these other things, and they leave their church and they leave it for somebody to teach. Or they're not paying attention to their church members somehow, or they're not paying attention to the Word of God anymore. But something is causing churches to fall away from truth. And it's Satan sowing tares into the Lord's churches. Because I heard this wasn't a few churches. This was a lot of what were great Sovereign Grace Baptist churches. I tell the story a lot about the brother's name started, last name started with a K. I can't remember offhand his name anymore. It's been several years ago. Who was a great landmark Sovereign Grace, 5-point Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher. Had many wonderful writings. I looked at a lot of his writings. I looked at his outlines. I read some of his little booklet deals they had on. I knew a lot about him there out of West Virginia. And all of a sudden, they disappear. The place I was getting them, I think it's out of Fort Worth over in Granbury, somewhere over there, that had that PH something, a good Sovereign Grace website, had pulled them. And I found out that he had fallen off the wagon. He read, someone brought up one passage of scripture over like Matthew 8 or something, and it just totally twisted him. He said, I just can't answer it. I emailed him. That's what I got from him. I couldn't answer it, so I had to change my whole thinking. You know what's wrong, folks? They're sleeping. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. The warning. You know what a pastor is? Sure you do. Who is he? He's the overseer of the Lord's church, isn't he? Now, I don't know if a lot of pastors understand the word overseer or not. Maybe they need to study it. They are to oversee the Lord's church. What is the Lord's church? Lord's people. Make sure they're okay. Make sure their thinking's right. Make sure that they're not going off the wagon. Be sober. Be vigilant. And he's the under-shepherd. Second title. He's the under-shepherd. He's the pastor. He's the bishop of the flock. He's the one that delivers the meal to the church. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Lord said, be sober. That's clear-minded. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Sowing them tares everywhere. Sowing them, sowing them, sowing them, sowing them. Everywhere he can sow them, he will sow them. If you give Satan a crack in the armor, as Lord talks about in Ephesians 6, the armor of God, if you give him a little crack, he's like a roach. He will get through there somehow. And multiply, and multiply. Next thing you know, you got a roachy house. I've lived in a roachy house before. It ain't no fun. And I sure don't want a roachy church building. Church. Not building, but church. Satan thus sows false doctrine in darkness. In the very places where truth is preached, while the men of the church and the pastor are sleeping. That's the reason the Lord said, while the men slept. Lord don't mean we're not ever taking a nap. Get our 8 hours of sleep or 6 hours, whatever you get at night. If you're like me, you don't get many because I don't sleep well. We're supposed to get that, but we can't sleep in the church. We can't sleep among the brethren.
It's not just my job to tend to this church business. It's not just my job to tend to the people of this church. It's all of our jobs. To love, to care, and be watchful. But I'm the one responsible, ain't I?
I'm the pastor. And I will pay account to God for everything I do. John chapter 8. You know the scripture. I've read a lot lately. I'm going to read it again. The will of Satan, they will do, always do. They are faithful servants. You know, politically speaking, and I'm not going to get into politics except to make this comparison with devils. And I would never look at one party and call them the devil. Well, I may have it time or another, but anyway. If you look at Washington, D.C., at our political system here in the United States of America, you'll not find many broken ranks of the Democrat Party. They stick together. It don't matter what it is. They could sit there and debate about pushing the button to end the world, and they would do it. They would sit there and come together and vote, every one of them, the same thing. Yeah, let's do it. But you look at the other side of the aisle, Republicans, they don't agree on nothing. I've never seen a party, a political party, as broken and as dumb as the Republican Party. And that's the party I vote for. They don't agree on nothing. That's the way Satan is. He's like the Democrat. His demons are always together. It don't matter what they're going to do. It's always going to be unrighteous, and they know it. And they just do the will of Satan, no matter what it is. Satan and his servants look like angels of light. But they're enemies of God and enemies of God's truth. They may appear to be Christians. They may call themselves Christians. They may call themselves churches. But they're nothing but the children of Satan sowing tares. And what is sad is they live in darkness. They wouldn't know light if they saw it. Because all they do is live in darkness. And don't even know they're being used by Satan. They think they're doing God's glory, God's will. You know, this reminds me. You read the scripture, the passage, and I can't call it off the top of my head, where Paul is talking about himself as a Jew. He was a Hebrew, tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the 8th day. He done everything by the Jewish book. He was as much Jew as any other Jew out there. Why he was, he thought he was doing God's will when he attacked the church at Jerusalem. He thought the church at Jerusalem and the Christians there were horrible persons that deserved to die. That's what he was. He really thought he was doing God's will. The Jews today believe they're doing God's will. And they're as anti-God as they can be. But with all this said, all of this is by the predetermined will of God. Every bit of it. Why was Jesus crucified? God ordained it, didn't he? He appointed it, didn't he? God appointed everything that happened to Jesus. I guarantee you, they didn't put one stripe on his body God did not approve of. Nothing happened to Jesus Christ that God did not ordain to happen. All the way to the cross and all the way to the grave and all the way to the resurrection.
his entire life on this earth was ordained of God. Every step he made was ordained of God. It is of us too. We can only go as far and as high as God will allow us to go. Amen. And when we reach the top, we get to stay there a little while, and then God brings us back down. He puts somebody else in there. One day, if this church lasts long enough, someone will replace me in this pulpit. I hope they do. That's in God's hand too, isn't it? I hope they do. Our greatest battle brings God's greatest victory, and that victory is in Jesus. Our greatest battle was sin. And Jesus Christ had victory over sin. That's the reason I love the song Victory in Jesus so much. Probably my best song. Most favorite. 2 Timothy 2, if you will. Jesus Christ, God promised in Genesis 3:15 that Satan would damage the hill and Jesus would crush the serpent. He will. He did at Calvary. We have victory because of Jesus Christ. Amen. We do. It's not in ourselves. It's not in our decisions, our choices. It's not in our good works. It's not in our church membership. It's not in that baptistry back there. It's all in Jesus Christ. This work's been put into the hands of God. True servants, true churches, and their pastors are God's servants. And they must, absolutely must, not sleep. Amen. Must always be sober and vigilant. Staying true to God's word. If you get a crack in the armor, Satan will come in. He just needs a crack. He just needs to cause a problem. Just needs to cause an issue. To get people riled up and people mad at each other in the Lord's church. He has to break the unity in the church. And if we sleep, God very well may let him do it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God's peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Not their will. None of us look for Satan to get advantage of us, do they? I mean, we're not any of us sitting around waiting to see us. None of us want that fight to start with, do we? I don't sit around saying, bring it on, Lord, bring it to the dawn. I'm not stupid. I don't want him fighting with me. I want him to leave me alone, go somewhere else. Even though he only calls whatever God allows him, I don't want to even get to that part. I don't even want to test that. I want him to stay away from me. And he will. Satan's not God. He's not omnipresent. So he can only be one place at one time. Now he has many angels, many demons that do his will. Even churches, people call themselves churches. Even people call themselves Christians are demons. Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. Right? Those that oppose the true gospel, those that oppose the true salvation, those that oppose the true churches are not real. They're not real. As pastors, ministers, and Christians, our job is to stand on the truth of God's word. But with patience and meekness, we must understand that we cannot change people who oppose truth. It's not our job to battle with them. It's not our job to debate and argue with them. I won't do it anymore. If they want to debate and argue, I'll cut it off. I'll say, no, I'm not doing this with you. You know why? Satan's going to make them look good. You ever think about that? Well, God can make us look good. With who? Chances are you might have one there that is actually a Christian. They probably don't know much truth. But everybody else listening is going to be lost people. They're going to be impressed by the lost people that Satan brought to do the arguments. I'm not going to do it. I've done it before. I look like a nut out there sometimes. I won't do it anymore. I carry the word of God. I carry the truth of God's word. And I'm not going to have it looking like I'm an idiot. I want to debate and argue with most preachers. It's not my job. I'm not going to do it. If they don't believe the truth, that's their problem. We must in loving ways instruct those in error and the lost in love. The Lord said to love them and pray for them, did he not? Arguments and debates of God's word accomplishes absolutely nothing. It just hurts people's feelings. Makes you look like a non-Christian. Because a leopard cannot change their spots, nor the Ethiopian their skin, we can't change them either. You are what you are born at. And that a leopard is born a leopard. You may change, you might change his spots by dyeing his hair, but he's still a leopard, isn't he? He's still got the spots, doesn't he? A man can change himself into a woman, he's still a man. A woman can change herself into a man, she's still a woman. We cannot change lost people. We can't make people believe. We can't make them understand. All we can do is tell the truth, preach the truth. If God saves them, he saves them. If he doesn't, they won't be saved. We're fighting Satan, folks. We're not fighting them. We're fighting Satan in them. He wants them to stay blinded. We must never lose sight of the fact that Satan's power is why they are blinded from the truth. 2 Corinthians 4 says that, doesn't it? The God of this world, Satan, has them blinded. Only God can give repentance to such a contradictor, a blasphemer of his gospel or his truth. We cannot. A
I'm not going to finish, so I'm not going to go any further. We'll continue with the end of this Satan and get into our third point next week, because I don't want to rush this. I spent a lot of time working on this, so I'm going to stop right here, and we'll get into the next two passages of scriptures and the thoughts on that to start next week. Because we only have a couple minutes left. Put the date on there. Sometimes I confuse myself. I have so many notes. I hope to be done with this probably another two or three weeks. Two or three Wednesday nights.
Go ahead and stop this.